All right, so tonight I'm going to finish up the book of Exodus, session 45. And it's a pretty exciting chapter, actually. And then as we close up shop here in the book of Exodus, this highlights in Exodus study, we will go back and actually we will revisit some of the things that we saw in the very first session in the overview of Exodus to just assure ourselves that we actually saw those things, and I think it'll be abundantly clear that we did. Where we left off last time at the end of chapter 39 in the book of Exodus was that all of the pieces of the tabernacle, the tent, all the coverings, all the furniture, the veils, all of those things had been fabricated, as well as the garments for the high priest Aaron and his sons. And so we head into Exodus chapter 40 with all of the materials ready to go. And so the tabernacle that we have seen beginning back in Exodus 25, all the way back in Exodus 25 was when we began to be introduced to the tabernacle and the tabernacle complex. In Exodus chapter 40 here, the tabernacle is ready to be constructed and erected. So let's pick up in Exodus chapter 40, verse 1. Then the Lord Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall place the ark of the testimony there, and you shall screen the ark with the veil. And you shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and mount its lamps. Moreover, you shall set the gold altar of incense before the ark of the testimony, and set up the veil for the doorway to the tabernacle. And you shall set the altar of burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around, and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court. Then you shall take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. And you shall anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its stand, and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. And you shall put the holy garments on Aaron, and anoint him, and consecrate him, that he may minister as a priest to me. And you shall bring his sons, and put tunics on them. And you shall anoint them, even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me. And their anointing shall qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations." Thus Moses did, according to all that the Lord Yahweh had commanded him, so he did. And so we see here this guidance that Yahweh is giving to Moses, and he's to set up the tabernacle on the first day of the first month. And so if you go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, there as the Israelites are getting ready to celebrate the Passover, God says to them that would be the first of their months, right? And so now here we are a year later, after all of the Passover meal and the Exodus itself and the passing through the Red Sea and the movement south on the Sinai Peninsula toward Mount Sinai and the giving of the law, the Book of the Covenant, Exodus 20 through 23, and then Moses being up on top of the mountain for four what are essentially consecutive 40-day periods where he receives the vision of the tabernacle and the garments of the high priest. After all of that, including the golden calf incident and the covenant renewal that followed immediately, here we are about a year later, removed from all of the beginning of all of those events. And so finally now the tabernacle is going to be erected. And then I just want to point out here in verses 9 through 16, over and over and over again, there's anointing and there's consecration. There's anointing and consecration. Anointing and consecration. And then in verse 12, Aaron and his sons, there's washing and anointing and consecration, right? And so we know because we have the great privilege of being living under the New Covenant and having the New Testament as well as the rest of the Old Testament. We know that anointing and oil represents the Holy Spirit, and of course we only know that as those who have been recipients of the revelation of the Trinitarian nature of God, that this oil and this anointing foreshadows the indwelling and fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that the worship of God that's going to take place in the tabernacle was not divorced from the Spirit of God. And so we have that over and over again. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, the washing in verse 12, and then verse 13, the anointing and consecration again, and then verse 15, the anointing and consecration again. And then in verse 16, thus Moses did according to all the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And again, this harkens us back to the vision at the top of Mount Sinai, Exodus 25 to 31, where repeatedly the Lord Yahweh says to Moses, make sure that you do all of these things according to the vision that I have given to you. And of course, the reason for that, as we have said before, we say again, the reason why Moses was commanded to be so meticulous in his preparations and in the setting up of the tabernacle was because that earthly tabernacle was representative of the heavenly tabernacle where God himself resides. And of course, it also points us forward, typologically speaking, to the ministry and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. And so that detail there is for us. It's for us as we see the redemptive work and ministry of the Son of God, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 17. Now it came about in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was erected. And Moses erected the tabernacle, and laid its sockets, and set up its boards, and inserted its bars, and erected its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he took the testimony, and put it into the ark, and attached the poles to the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up a veil for the screen, and screened off the ark of the testimony, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he put the table in the tent of meeting, on the north side of the tabernacle, outside the veil. And he set the arrangement of bread in order on it before the Lord Yahweh, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting, opposite the table, on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord Yahweh, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil. And he burned fragrant incense on it, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he set up the veil for the doorway of the tabernacle. And he set the altar of burnt offering before the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered on it the burnt offering and the meal offering, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it for washing. And from it, Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. When they entered the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. So, I'm not going to go back and read all of these verses that I just read to you, but I do want to point out to you something that I think is very important. In verse 18, the subject of the first sentence is Moses, right? And Moses erected the tabernacle and laid its sockets and so on. And then in verse 19, in verse 20, in verse 21, in verse 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30, and 33, the subject of all of those sentences is Moses. Right? And so the point here is this. If you remember, Aholiab and Bezalel are the men that God specifically called out and gave gifts by the Spirit to do all of the engraving and the fabrication of all of the materials, right? Including the tabernacle and the tabernacle complex and the priestly garments. But when it comes time to erect the tabernacle and prepare Israel for worship, Moses is the one who is given that responsibility. And why is that important? It's important because Moses is the mediator of this covenant. He is the one, he is the only one who is given the responsibility of being the mediator of the old covenant or the Mosaic covenant. Right? And so this is, there's multiple things to understand here. The first thing that I would note is this doctrine of federal headship. As Moses goes, so the Israelites go. And that motif of federal headship is carried on all through the Bible. Each of the heads of the covenant, so you think about Adam, you think about Noah, you think about Abraham, you think about Moses, you think about David. Now, David plays an additional role because David is the king. And the king, in many ways, acts as a federal head for the nation Israel. And then you think of the mediatorial work and the federal headship of Jesus Christ, which we see clearly articulated by Paul in Romans 5, 12 through 21. So this doctrine of federal headship is so very important, and this doctrine of mediatorship is so very important to the Bible, especially as we understand the Bible in its covenantal theological aspects. And so Moses here, he is the one who is entrusted by God. He takes all of these fabricated things for the tabernacle itself, for the tabernacle complex, and for the high priestly garments, and he is the one who is entrusted with the erection of the tabernacle itself to prepare the Israelites for the worship of the Lord Yahweh. And then look at the end of Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. Thus Moses finished the work. And if you draw in your Bible or you write in your Bible, then by all means, take that word finished and circle it. Underline it. Do whatever it is you need to do. Okay? It's almost as if there's just one author to the Holy Scriptures. Right? Because what should be clearly ringing in your ears and in your mind when you read Exodus chapter 40, verse 33, when it says, thus Moses, the federal head, the mediator of the old covenant, finished the work. Your mind should immediately go to John chapter 19, verse 30. And you all know what John chapter 19, verse 30 says. Jesus, hanging on the cross for those hours in darkness, he chooses, willingly chooses, to give up his spirit to the Father, and he says, what? It is finished. Again, almost as if there was just one author to this entire book, right? We see, And the message could not be more clear. Moses was finished with the work, and now God's people can worship him, truly worship him. Jesus finishes his work on the cross, and now his new covenant people can worship him, really, truly worship him in spirit and in truth, which Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at Sychar, John chapter 4. Okay, so we see these parallels between Moses and Jesus, and we will come back to that shortly. Let's finish out the chapter. Let's finish out the book of Exodus. Verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord Yahweh was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. So, I just got done talking at length about the comparison between Moses, the mediator of the Old Covenant, and Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant. But now, here, in this last paragraph, we see not comparison, but we see a contrast. I want you to see it very clearly. So God is obviously pleased, verse 34, with the tabernacle complex, everything that's been fabricated by the Israelites under the guidance of Aholiab and Bezalel. And we know that because God's presence, His very glory, the Shekinah glory of God, comes and fills the tabernacle. This is God coming with His presence and with His blessing for what the Israelites have done. It is apparently sufficiently identical to what God showed to Moses at the top of Sinai, that God comes and blesses it with His very presence. But, verse 35, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud of the glory of the Lord had settled in it. This is not comparison. This is contrast. It's a contrast between Moses and Jesus. So, for example, if we go, and if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And now is not the right time. I just want you to know, now is not the right time at the end of the book of Exodus to go into the book of Hebrews, right? We want to get to the end of the book of Leviticus before we do that. That's very important. But I do want to go there briefly right now. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, just to give you a taste of what's going on there. Hebrews 6, verse 19. This hope, and he's been talking about in chapter 6 of Hebrews, he's been talking about the better things that are associated with the new covenant. And we have a better hope. Verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And so the preacher to the Hebrews says Moses could not go in. Exodus chapter 40. But Jesus has gone in. And then he also says, turn over a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning in verse 11. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the order of Melchizedek, I would add, of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So what we see in Exodus chapter 40, and again, I'll come back to this in just a minute, but what we've seen through Exodus is this comparison of Moses and Jesus. But here, right at the end, when God shows up by his Shekinah glory, that's when the contrast between Moses and the Old Covenant and Jesus and the New Covenant becomes clear. And the preacher to the Hebrews, he uses the word better 12 or 13 times. Because Moses, Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, when the one true God appears in the tabernacle, Moses is not able to enter because he's a mere mortal. But Jesus is able to enter into the heavenly tabernacle because Jesus is not a mere mortal. Jesus is the Theanthropos, the God-man. And so I just want you to see that right here in Exodus 40, within a span of just a few verses, we see this clear comparison, but also contrast between Moses, the mediator of the Old Covenant, and Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant. And then Moses puts a little postscript here, beginning in verse 36. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel. So what do we have here? We have two things very clearly. We have God leading the Israelites, God leading his people, which he promised Moses he would do after Moses intercedes on their behalf, after the golden calf incident. And we have Emmanuel, God with us. And really, at the end of the day, this is what covenant means. It means God speaking and saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And so Exodus, the book of Exodus, ends with an affirmation that God will lead his people and he will dwell in the midst of his people. That's why the book of Exodus is the book of the old covenant. And so that's how it ends. And then, of course, we head into the book of Leviticus, where God's law will be laid out in quite no uncertain terms by God through Moses to his people Israel. All right, so let's just spend a few minutes. I want to go back to the beginning of Exodus and just remind you of some of the things that we said there in the very first session of this Highlights in Exodus study. So, at that time, I laid out for you a couple of very high-level outlines of what we were going to see in Exodus. And I trust these were consistent with what we saw. So in its simplest form, I said that we could take Exodus and we could divide it into two parts. The first part was chapters 1 through 18. That was the beginning and birth of Moses through the arrival of the Israelites at Mount Sinai. That's chapters 1 through 18. And then the second part of Exodus was the establishment of the Old Covenant all the way through the erection of the tabernacle, chapters 19 through 40. And so at a very high level, you can split Exodus into those two sections. And I noted at that time that the word Exodus, if you remember, is derived from the Greek that basically means exit or departure by way of the road. And so that's what we saw. We saw ultimately God's deliverance of the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, out of Egyptian slavery and to Mount Sinai, where he established his covenantal relationship with them. We talked a little bit more about an expanded outline. We saw Moses and the judgments on Egypt. That was chapters 1 through 15. We saw from the Exodus down to Mount Sinai, chapters 15 through 18. We saw covenant and tabernacle. That was chapters 19 to 31. So the book of the covenant was 20 through 23, and then the vision of the tabernacle at the top of Mount Sinai through chapter 31. We saw rebellion and restoration, or rebellion and renewal of the covenant. We saw that in Exodus 32 through 34 with the golden calf incident, and then the renewal of the covenant as Exodus 34 came to a close, and then the fabrication and the erection of the tabernacle in chapters 35 to 40, right? And so those are just at that time we were trying to get our arms around a 40 chapter book, and so we did that in a couple of very high level outlines. And then what we talked about as we wrapped up that first highlight session is we talked about four major themes that we would see in the book of Exodus. And so I trust that these are what you saw. Theme number one is what we've already talked about in this particular session, and that is Moses as a type of Christ. And at that time, we went to Deuteronomy 18:15, where God would raise up another prophet like Moses, which was fulfilled in the ministry and life of Joshua. But ultimately, we know that Jesus is the one who fulfilled the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18:15. And we know that because when we went to Acts chapter 7, and Stephen is standing before the Sanhedrin, he literally says that Jesus, the one whom the Jews killed, was the one who fulfilled that prophecy of Deuteronomy 18:15. And so this greater Moses, this greater mediator, is Jesus himself. And I assume that we've already seen that tonight, and we saw that over and over and over again. What I didn't mention at the time is that we also see in Exodus that Aaron is a type of Christ. And there's a comparison and a contrasting there. We see Aaron as the high priest of Israel, and we looked at his garments and how the garments represented the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. But we also see contrast with Aaron as well. And we pick that up in Psalm 110, as well as in the book of Hebrews, where Jesus Christ is a priest. He is a high priest of the new covenant, but not in the order of Aaron. He is in the order of the high priest Melchizedek. And so we have, even in Aaron's work, we have comparison and contrast. So that was theme number one, Moses as a type of Christ. And I trust that that has been clear to you. Number two, we saw the Exodus as a type of our salvation, right? And so a couple of different things that we talked about then, and we'll talk about again very briefly right now. Number one, when you're reading the New Testament and you see the Apostle Paul over and over and over again talk about our redemption in Jesus Christ as being our freedom from slavery, there should be no doubt in your mind that one of the primary images that the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee who is well-versed in the Old Testament scriptures, one of the primary images that the Apostle Paul has in his mind is the Exodus, the redemption by the strong arm of God, by the monergistic work of God. That is, God did the whole thing. He rescues his people out of Egyptian slavery and brings them into the freedom of worship at the base of Mount Sinai. And so every time Paul says that, that's what we should have in our minds as well. The book of Exodus. We also talked at that time about the imagery of baptism. And that baptism, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, which we did as the children of Israel are coming out of Egyptian slavery, that Red Sea was split into two walls, and the Israelites were brought through the Red Sea by the strong arm of God himself. It was a type of baptism, which we celebrate as well as we come into the kingdom of Christ by faith. And so theme number two was the Exodus as a type of our salvation. And that motif is all over the New Testament. And I trust you see that comparison as well. Number three, the theme of the book of Exodus, the establishment of the old Mosaic covenant. And this is so, so important. You cannot understand what is going on in the new covenant unless you have an understanding, even a cursory understanding, of what happened in the establishment of the old Mosaic covenant. And I mentioned it in session one. I mentioned it multiple times throughout this highlights in Exodus. This is so important, and if you understand this, it will revolutionize your reading of the New Testament to understand that the Mosaic covenant was a temporary covenant. It was a covenant that had a very discreet beginning in Exodus 20 through 23, and it had a fiery end, as we see in the Gospels, especially as Jesus inaugurates the new covenant on the night he was betrayed, as Jesus spills his own blood in the place of blood of bulls and goats on the cross of on which he suffered, and then his resurrection that declares Jesus to be the acceptable sacrifice and the mediator of the new covenant. We see that in the ascension of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 as he sits down as our high priest. Remember, the high priests of Israel, Aaron never sat down inside the most holy place. There was no seat in the most holy place for Aaron. There was only one seat in the most holy place. There was only one throne in the most holy place, and that was the throne of God, the mercy seat, the propitiatory seat. There was no seat for Aaron in the most holy place. But the New Testament tells us that when Jesus ascends to heaven in Acts chapter 1, in preparation for the giving of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Jesus Christ the righteous sits down at the right hand of the Father to denote that the work of redemption is finished. And this is a glorious thing, and it is in contrast to the establishment of the old Mosaic covenant, which was temporary. The new covenant is eternal, and it is a glorious thing. And I trust that that was clear to you as we went through Exodus these many weeks. So the first theme was that Moses is a type of Christ. The second theme, that the Exodus is a type of our salvation. The third theme was that the establishment of the old or Mosaic covenant. And then the fourth theme was the tabernacle as a type of Christ. And I think we labored long through the chapters, Exodus 25 to 31, to see the tabernacle as well as the high priestly garments as a type of the redemptive work that Jesus did on behalf of sinners like us. And so I trust that these themes and perhaps others that are in your mind were clear to us as we went through the book of Exodus. I trust that these 45 sessions in the book of Exodus have helped you to do a few things. Number one, to read the New Testament with a greater, not just knowledge, but just awe of what God has done for his people. An awe for how the Bible, again, which we saw in Genesis and now we see in Exodus, how the Bible just fits together and how the Holy Spirit is clearly the primary author of this glorious book that God has privileged us to read and to meditate upon and to understand. And I hope that as you do your devotional reading, you read your Bible through the year, that from now on, every time you come to the book of Exodus, that you have a sense that you have your arms around it a little bit better, and that it's not so difficult to read. That you will read through Exodus with more understanding and in a more worshipful way as you see just the glory of the redemption that we have from the Lord Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, through the person and work of his perfectly righteous Son on the cross. And so that was my hope at the beginning. It continues to be my hope, and I trust that you have been edified and encouraged by these sessions through the book of Exodus. Pastor Mike, anything to add?
I do not have anything to add.
All right. Well, God bless all of you, and God bless your continued reading of the book of Exodus.